Nehemiah chapter 9, verses 22 to 25. The People's Prayer, part 7. We continue in looking at these Jews in their praying, beseeching God for Zion. I've said several times, verse 32 in chapter 9 of Nehemiah, that is the punchline, "Now therefore, O our God." But in the verses, in the paragraphs preceding this verse, the Jews are laying down the arguments, the sovereignty of God, the electing mercy of God, the covenant that he gave to his people at Sinai, their deliverance from Egypt, their protection, but their rebellion too, their breaking of the covenant, their transgression of the law, and so on. But then, as we saw in the previous discourse, God is still merciful to them. He's still been kind. And in this section today, verse 22 to 25, they remind God of the way he was superabundant in his blessing upon them. "You gave them kingdoms and nations." This people that had been rebellious at Kadesh Barnea, they had lacked faith. They had to pass through the wilderness in judgment. They had broken the covenant. They'd been idolaters at Sinai even. Nevertheless, in God's sovereign mercy, in his decree working out his purpose in the history of redemption through covenants, "you gave them kingdoms and nations, allotting to them even the remotest frontiers. They took over the country of Sihon and Og and so on. You made their sons as numerous as the stars in the sky, and you brought them into the land that you told their fathers to enter and possess." The commands that God had given his people, the promises that he'd given his people, the assurance, even to Abram, way back there, as he brought him out from Ur of the Chaldees. God keeps his word. And the Jews here are remembering this and arguing this before God and recalling it. "Their sons went in and took possession, the land you gave to us, the land you promised us. And they lived in the land. They took over the land of the Canaanites. You handed the Canaanites over to them. This is your purpose, your sovereign purpose, along with their kings and peoples and so on. And Israel was triumphant. They did with them as they pleased. They captured fortified cities and fertile land. They took over all these possessions. They entered into richness and plenty. You gave them fruits and abundance and wealth and prosperity. They ate to the full and were well nourished. They," and a tremendous phrase at the end, "they reveled in your great goodness." And they're remembering this, Nehemiah 9, 22 to 25. They're remembering God's great mercy, his triumph for them, with them, through them, by them, for them. Well, my friend, if we in the days of the new covenant in Christ, have we got nothing like this to talk about? What about the abundance that God has given to us? Are we not reveling in it? Our mercy in Christ, our forgiveness in Christ, our salvation in Christ, God's mercy to us, God's salvation to us, God's grace to us is ours now because Christ has earned it for us and bestowed it upon us, and Christ in us, the hope of glory, the eternity to come, the new heavens and the new earth, and so on. They reveled in it. The book of Judges, chapter 5, the glories of those days. God kept his word. It wasn't utility. It was prosperity. They were nourished in God's great goodness. They were inconquerable. And it was all to the glory of God. It was what God had said. It was as God had promised. You had done it. You had told them. Look how many times it says you made, you accomplished, you conquered, you did, you give it to the people. It was you. You handed it over to them. It was your goodness. You subdued the people. It was all of you. And they're arguing, aren't they, that the Lord would send prosperity to them. This is what they're trying to do. This is what they're arguing. This is how you worked in the past, O God. Even though we were a sinful people, you still forgave us and had mercy upon us. Will you not do it again for us? Will you not bring us into that time? Is it not the same note today that we need to sound, to rejoice in God's power, in God's work? I think we're forgetting the fact it's not by might, it's not by power, it's not by schemes, it's not by programs, it's not by our cleverness, it's by my Spirit, says the Lord. That's what I see here. You gave your people the land. Any success we have must be a given success, not a deserved success. It must be a given success by the power and scheme and plans of God, the will of God, so very different to our own scheming. Not by might, not by power, but by my Spirit. You remember the pagans, they praise their net. I'm Habakkuk 1, verses 15 to 16, especially verse 16. They sang praises, they worshipped their nets because they said, that's where we got the fish from. It was our net that did it. No, no, no. Believers, we must realize that it's not our preaching, certainly not our schemes, our plans. It's God's sovereign work in saving sinners. And these people are arguing such a thing in their covenant. Oh, let us do the same in ours. As you have had mercy upon us in the past, as you have blessed us, will you not come again and bless us? How about John Kent's hymn? Jesus, sovereign Lord of all, at thy feet we humbly fall. Lift our hearts and eyes to thee. Send, O Lord, prosperity. Where my name is on record, there I'll bless thee, is thy word. 'Tis thy promise great and free. Send, O Lord, prosperity. On thy church thy Spirit breathe. Say, the Holy Ghost receive. Void of this, we ne'er shall see days of sweet prosperity. Signs and wonders in thy name here display, thou bleeding lamb. Raise the dead, the captive free. Send, O Lord, prosperity. Of course, he's speaking spiritually, you understand. Here let rebels at thy throne lay their hostile weapons down. Kiss thy feet with suppliant knee. Send, O Lord, prosperity. Elders, send thy fold to bless. Crown their labors with success, preaching not themselves but thee, source of all prosperity. Get the big picture here, my friend. We take a risk here, taking these individual paragraphs. Take the big picture. I should do this before we finished. Starting with God's sovereignty, God's purpose, God's revelation. They're sinning, they're stumbling, they're falling, but God maintaining his mercy, crowning with blessing. And they'll come to verse 32. Now therefore, O our God, come and do it for us. Come and bless us at this time. May God stir us to such prayer, my friend, and to such rejoicing. May we look back and praise God for his mercies. May he encourage us to lay hold upon God that he will yet in the former coming days do what he did in former days and bless us. Will you not bless us again? Will you not revive us that we may rejoice in you and glorify your name? That comes out here, the glory of God. May it be so for us. Amen.